Only three times in the Bible do we find any instance of the operation of the finger of the Lord. Oh, one other time in the gospel we find concerning the Lord that cast out devils with his finger or by his finger, but it's a sort of repetition of another time. But only on three occasions do you find the working or the action of the finger of God. Now, what is the purpose of the finger of God? It always has to do with pointing the right way. Pointing the right way. Let's suppose somebody stops you out in the street sometime. They pull, and you're walking down the curb, down the sidewalk, they pull aside the curb, and they say, "Hey, could you tell me how to get to the post office?" You know what you do. You say you go a block this way, and then turn right. And you go a couple of blocks right, and it's on the right side. Now, you point the whole thing with your finger. You don't say you go this way. 99 times out of 100, you will say you go this way. The finger is that part. And by the way, when it talks about this finger, it's talking about the index finger of God. In time that the Jews mentioned the finger, it was the index finger, the pointing finger. And you say you go this way. I recall we were in London. We took a Holy Land tour. We came back to London. And they put us in a hotel that was less than they promised. And didn't even have private restrooms. And so our people had paid, many of them, the life savings, lifetime earning savings for their trip. And I didn't care if I stayed in a bad room. I'd been there before. But this is a once-in-a-lifetime trip. And so they put us in a horrible hotel. And I won't go into how I grabbed a hold of the fellows. And almost one of us almost got whipped, but I won't tell you about that. But I will tell you that it would have been he who got whipped. But anyway, I am. Everybody, we were so mad at London, we wanted to burn the place down. I mean, we wanted to steal the crown jewels, and we wanted to burn down London Tower and Parliament. And so about the time at our most aggravated, a bunch of long-haired hippie freaks came up and asked Tom McKinney how to find the post, somebody at the post office, I think. And Tom didn't have the foggiest idea where the post office was, but he wanted to get back at somebody in England. So he said, you go 14 blocks this way, and he said, you turn left and go 10 blocks that way, and then turn right and go a mile and a half. And it took him all day to find out where the post office wasn't. But any time you give direction, you heard about the little fellow, didn't you? A little boy on a street corner, and preacher drove up and said, son, he said, where's the post office? The little boy said, right across the street there. He's over there. And the preacher, oh, my, I'm sorry. He said, by the way, son, would you like to know how to get to heaven? He said, not from you. You don't even know how to get to the post office from here. And so the truth is, but any time we give it directions, it's that little index finger. You go down this way, and you turn left and go that way. You turn right and go that way. And it's right there on the corner, we'd say. Now, any time we have the finger of the Lord mentioned in the Bible, it has to do with giving instructions or directions. Now, let's see this morning how God points the way. A few words of introduction. One is this. God's finger always points forward. Now, if you want to know what God's will is for your life, I can tell you half what it isn't. It's never to go backward. Never. Every once in a while, somebody will write me a note or come by and see me. We came to Howells Anderson College. We came here. And now the circumstances back home seem to imply we're supposed to go back home. You think that's God leading? Nope, I know it's not. God's finger never points backward. God never says like that. It's always forward. And secondly, God's finger always points upward to higher ground. Always does. It points points upward. I think I ought to quit my Sunday school class. It's promotion time now, and let somebody else take over. That's not God's finger pointing. That's somebody else's finger pointing. God's finger points forward, and God's finger points upward. But I want you to notice now, the three times in the Bible that God's finger is mentioned. The first one is so interesting. You need not turn to it, but I'm going to turn to it. I want to show you the first time we find the mention of the finger of God. Well, the first time for the outline this morning. Now, I read from Exodus 31:18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him on Mount Sinai, two tables of stone, or tablets of stone. Did you ever wonder how God wrote the Ten Commandments? Do you ever think maybe God got a hammer and a chisel and chiseled those words in that stone? Listen to this. Said, two tables of stone written with the finger of God. That's a pretty powerful finger, isn't it? I mean, God got these old hard pieces of stone and just took his finger and wrote, just like you'd write in the dust. The car out there that I drive, the church van, gets awful dirty, and some nut will write on the back of it, "Please wash me." like you'd write in the dust. God just got these big old tablets of stone and wrote, "Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not steal." God just wrote them on there with his finger. Now, bear in mind this, that God's finger is to point the direction. Now, what is God doing? God is saying that usually he points the direction of where we ought to go through his word. 99% of all of God's will is found in this book. Hear me now. Hey, wake up here. Wake up. Slap yourself on the cheek. Good night. You Hiles Anderson said, get enough character to stay awake. I want you to hear what I got to say. I didn't study this message and pray for several hours for you to sleep through a sermon. Now wake up. I want to tell you something. Everybody in this house has got to find the will of God for his life. God has a plan for your life. And you better know how to find it. Don't live and miss it. Don't walk through this earth and not know the plan of God and know the will of God. And the only way you're going to find it is you can find which way the finger of God is pointing. And I say in the first place, God's finger. God points usually with his word. 99% of all the major decisions I've made in my life have been decided by living in this book. How foolish we are. You know, we say, "Lord, if you want me to do so-and-so, cause lightning to strike that telephone post across the street." That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. Or somebody said, "Dear Lord, a guy walked in and said, I'm supposed to go south. God told me in the book, open the Bible, and it said, the king of the south." And that's it. Boy, you may risk your life on that, but not me, buddy. I was Dr. B.R. Lakin said, "I can show you how you can keep from dying. If you don't want to die," he said, three ways you can keep from dying. He said, in the first place, he said, never go to bed. Because everybody, almost everybody, dies in bed. Now, he said, number two, don't go to the hospital, because most folks die there. Now, he said, number three, if you don't want to die, don't go to bed, don't go to the hospital. And he said, number three, he said, find out where you're going to die and don't ever go there. Now, the truth is, that's about the way people here find out the will of God. I picked up the Bible. One fellow said, God is calling me to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. He said, I picked up the Bible, let it fall open, I put my finger down, and it says they were in Bethlehem. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, you might put your Bible on a finger on a verse, and it may say Judas hanged himself. And then you might put your finger on the next verse and says, go thou and do likewise. Don't do that now. That's dangerous. I'm saying God has a plan for your life. Now you say, well, then, Brother House, how can I find the will of God? By being in the Word of God. I'll tell you how. You live in the Word of God, and it puts you in the frame of mind where God can speak to you other ways. I'm saying thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Would you live in the will of God? Would you seek the will of God? Then you live in the Word of God. This is graduation time. And I want to say a word this morning to all the Hammond Baptist High School seniors, all the Hiles Anderson College seniors. I want to say this. And that is this. Don't you decide on your own what you do with your life. You have no right for that. Listen, you'll make the mistake of your life if you on your own decide what to do with your life. You seek God's finger. You find out which way God's finger is pointing. You find out which way God says to go. And the way you find that out more than any other way in the world is to live in this book. Oh, people of God, let the First Baptist Church of Hammond be people of the book. Read it. Read it. Read it. And what's what somebody said? What kind of Bible study do you have? I just read the Bible. Somebody said, what kind of a devotional plan do you have? I just read the Bible. Somebody said, what kind of daily devotional book do you have? I just read the Bible. We've read enough daily devotional books. We've substituted everything under the sun for the reading of the Word of God. But if you want to find out what God has in mind for you and want to find out which way His finger's pointing, you live in the book. Don't decide what you want to do. Don't decide on your own. Don't decide where the most money is. I recall back in those days, years ago, when I was seeking a college, trying to find what college I ought to attend. My pastor told me just what I told you. He said, son, you live in this book. You live in this book. And I recall how I read the book, I mean, chapter after chapter after chapter, every day of my life. Why? I was trying to find the will of God. And the will of God, the finger of the Lord. This is the finger of the Lord 99% of the time. And never go against it. Never go against it. Never do what it says don't do, and never refuse to do what it says do. But stay in it. I remember when I was trying to decide what to do about coming here, I got in the book. Now, I didn't find anything in the book that told me what to do. But by living in the book, God found out that I was sincere and dead earnest about finding His will, and God revealed unmistakably that I ought to come here. If you're graduating from high school, I'd read 25 chapters a day of this book. I mean it. If you're graduating from college, I'd read 25 chapters a day in this book. If I were trying to find the will of God for my life, I'd read 25 chapters a day in this book. If you're trying to find which girl... I talked to somebody. Where was I? I was out the west the other day. And a guy was having a fit. He said, I'm in love with four women. And he was serious. He said, now, didn't David have more wives than one? And he what should I do? If you're trying to find the right young man, then you live in the book. If you're trying to find the right young lady, live in the book. Listen. Everything that God has ever done from the time that God spoke in heaven's danced across the sky, everything that God has ever done from the time that God's teardrop formed the lakes, everything that God has ever done since God made the pyramidic mountain peak, everything that God has ever done since he made the pine trees like steeples on the horizon, everything that God has ever done since He made clouds as carpet for us while we fly and shade for us while we walk, everything that God has ever done since God painted the rainbow with His masterpiece of a stroke, everything that God has ever done, He's done through this book. And everything that God ever will do, He'll do through this book. You read it and memorize it and reread it and memorize it and love it and care for it. That's the finger of God. If you want to know which way God says to go, you get in this book and you live in this book. Nothing will take its place. Nothing will substitute for it. And I'll tell you what. Most people that get outside the will of God get outside the will of God because they get outside the Word of God. This is the finger of God. Number two. A while ago we read from Exodus 8:19. We'll not go back to it. But Pharaoh was holding the people of God in bondage. Moses came and said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no, I won't do it. Or he tried to compromise, but he won't do it. Moses said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no, I won't do it. So God sent plagues on Egypt. In the first place, water in the Nile River turned to blood. And all the fish in all the river died. And by the way, in Egypt, all the water comes from the Nile River. So all the fish died, and they stank up the place, and the water turned to blood. And Pharaoh still did not let the people of God go. Then God sent frogs to cover the land. Now to me, that scared me to death. I hate a frog worse than most anything in the world. The jumping. I hate jumping. I hate them. God sent frogs. Can you imagine what they had all over the land, just jumping? All the Bible said the land is covered with. And then God let the frogs die. And the people stacked those frogs up in heaps, and the Bible says those dead frogs caused an awful stink throughout the land. And Pharaoh still did not let the people go. Then God came down to the dust and turned the dust to lice. Now, you folks in our schools can appreciate that. We have had boys and girls come to our schools with little pets we didn't appreciate. And those pets reproduced, and they found refuge on other scalps also. And at one time, we almost had to close our school for a while because of lice. But can you imagine? The dust turned to lice. Here's a guy, a gal got a little dust on her coffee table, and all of a sudden, lice all over there. I mean, here's the little dust on your shoe, and all of a sudden, you look down, and your shoe is covered with lice. Now, here you have a nation where the waters turned to blood, and the fish have all died, and frogs have come up everywhere, and the frogs have died. They stacked the frogs in heaps, and then the dust turns to lice. And Pharaoh calls his magicians or his scientists. And he says to them, what caused these frogs? What caused this blood? What caused these lice? And the magician said, this is the finger of God. God was using these plagues and as chastening to say to Pharaoh, that way, let my people go that way. Let my folks go. The chastening was the finger of the Lord. Now, it is sad that it happened, that God had to do all of this, but it is sadder that it did not work for a while. And that God was using chastening to point His finger to the will of God. This is so tragic. But the honest truth is, do you know that much of the heartache and suffering and disease that we endure is the finger of God telling us to do something? God is saying, do it! You've heard me tell this illustration. That young man in Texas where I used to pastor, God called him to preach. He came down the aisle and said, Pastor, God's called me to preach. But my wife says she won't be a preacher's wife. God pity the little old beauty queen pipsqueak that stays in the way of her husband preaching the Word of God. God pity that little backslidden female that says, I won't be a preacher's wife. Why, if God has called your husband a preacher, you ought to jump up and down and say, blessed be God, I get to iron the shirt of a man of God from now on. But she said, no. No. Then, he finally said, I can't preach. Wife says, no, and I've got a good job, and I can't do it. And then a little baby came in their home, cute little baby. And how happy they were. While that baby was still in infancy, it took high temperature, rushed it to the hospital, and it died suddenly. We went down to William Schuner Home in Garland, Texas, and I conducted the services. People came by to view that little body after the message. I was standing here at the head of that little casket, precious little, like a little Christmas doll, resting in the casket. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Everybody had come by and viewed the body. And then came the time when the pastor steps up a little closer to the casket, and the immediate family comes. And the immediate family gathered around the casket, and all of a sudden, that young man that said he couldn't preach because his wife didn't want him to because he couldn't afford it. He reached inside that casket and put his hands underneath the body of that little dead baby and lifted that baby out of the casket and held it in his arms like the baby was still living. And people gathered around, startled. I'd never seen it before. And he said to me, holding that little dead body, he said, Pastor, I can preach now. I can preach now. I can preach now. That little baby was the finger of the Lord. The finger of the Lord. You heard me tell about that revival I was preaching at the First Baptist Church of New London, Texas. I heard a sound before the service. I was having a bite with the pastor and a bit of fellowship in his home. And heard a sound. And I said, Pastor, what's that? He said, that's my boy. He has polio. That's the way he walks. He's walking on the hardwood floor of the bedroom. There he was. He said, come with me. He came and opened a closet door. He said, look at there. There were some braces for crippled Boy, a great basin. He said, look at that. That's my prayer closet. I said, what do you mean? He said, I pray here every day. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, every day I come here and pray. And I said, why? He said, because God called me to preach and I wouldn't do it. God pointed to me. I want you to be a preacher and I wouldn't do it. He said, I refused. And he said, as shortly thereafter, my boy got polio. And my boy has a leg about that much shorter than the other. Poor little old crippled fella hobbling around. Just a little tight. Hobbling around the house. And he said, this is the closet where I keep the first pair of braces he ever had. And he said, I come to kneel here every day. I look at those braces and remind myself that that is God's way of getting me in the ministry. Don't you think it'd be a little easier for you to get in the will of God and avoid the polio? Don't you think it? And listen, you say what you want to say, and you sit there and make light of it and nod while I'm preaching, but I want to tell you something. God is a God who has a will for your life. And if you fought that will and do your own will, God has ways of getting your attention. Sit down, fellas. Sit down right there. We don't move around here. You sit still and listen to what I'm saying. God has a way of getting your attention. You better listen now. I want to tell you something. Many a car wreck was the finger of God. Many a death in a family was a finger of God. Many a little casket about that long was the finger of God. Many a trip to Babyland in the cemetery was the finger of God. Many a serious illness was the finger of God. Many a crippled child was the finger of God. Many a baby dying was the finger of God. God said to you through His Word what to do and you wouldn't do it. And God said to you through His man what to do and you wouldn't do it. And God came along and caused the clashing of steel on the highway and said, if I can't get you by pointing to you through my Word, He said, I'll put you in the hospital flat on your back. That's the finger of God. Now the sad thing is, it's sad when God has to do it. But it is sadder when God does it and still you don't do His will. The sad thing is not the saddest thing is not that little baby that died so his daddy would preach. The sad thing is the babies that die and the finger of God in it and daddy doesn't preach. You know, I think sometimes we fundamentalists maybe, we may take God too lightly. I preached a sermon here one time on good old God. Good old God. Good old God. And I love the mercy of God. And I love the patience of God. And I can hardly think about His long suffering and tenderness and kindness without moistening my eyes. Thank God for this. Thank God He puts up with us. And thank God He uses us. But oh, there needs to come forth the thunder of reminder that God has a will for our lives and God has a plan for our lives. Young people, don't you make the mistake now at graduation time of pointing your own finger where you want to go. And don't you make the mistake of saying, I want to make money. I want to have a good job. I want to do this. This is what I... No, sir! It's only to be what He wants me to be. God has ways. Oh, if you could see those young folks that come by my office after they have felt the finger of God's chastening, you'd listen to me. There's a third thing in the Bible where God's finger is mentioned. And, I won't turn to it. Yes, I will. It's in John chapter 8, and I read it for you. Then this they said, tempting Him that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. You recall, don't you, how they found this woman in the act of adultery? They came and said, we found her in the act of adultery. Let's stone her. And Jesus said, the first person that here hasn't sinned, said this one that hasn't sinned, said, hurl the first stone. And as though He wasn't looking, He wrote in the ground with His finger. He was telling them something. They could not understand what He was telling them. Sometimes God points to His will by things we do not understand. I didn't say much about it. But a few days ago, what is today, April what? 18th. 2 weeks ago tomorrow was the birthday of my dad. I used to sit at home waiting at night for daddy to come home. Saturday night waiting for daddy to come home with a paycheck and he'd come in drunk, car would hit the tree out in front of the house. I used to wonder why my dad wouldn't come home like other dads did. I didn't know it then, but it was the finger of the Lord pointing me to pastor this church in this great Chicago area. When my dad left our house and said goodbye to mother and me the last time, never live in our house again, I used to wonder why it happened, but I know now it was the finger of the Lord. Now, things have happened to you you can't understand. Things have happened to you that you'll never, ever understand, but often it's the finger of the Lord pointing to His will. I'm 55 years old, be 56 in September. I've been preaching them out a long time. I've followed many a hearse to the silent city of the dead. I've left half of my heart again and again in a little grave somewhere. I've taken many a little box and helped to carry it, and sometimes carry it myself, out to Babyland and laid into rest a little one who calls the hearth, or the fire on the hearth of the fireplace in the heart of the parents to go out, who calls their son to sit at noonday and midnight to come at noontime. And I've caught many, many a million tears on this shoulder. The heartaches, the burdens, the sorrows. There are folks today in this room suffering, and you don't know why you're having to suffer. I've read at least 9 notes this morning, maybe more, of people that tomorrow is a deadline for something. And their hearts are broken into. Ah, listen, it's the finger of the Lord. You say, how do I know? You don't have to know now. You'll know someday. It was the finger of the Lord. And so God comes and says, I'll keep you on my shoulders. I will hold you up with my arms. I will hold you in my hand. And I will point the way you ought to go with my finger. Now, don't you think it'd be a lot easier, ladies and gentlemen, for you to heed the Word of God and do what God wants you to do, and where God would not have to come with unknown ways and chastening ways? Oh, if you just knew. I was pastor in Texas. Little lady, beautiful lady in our church, and her husband, they wouldn't do the will of God. They just refused. They lived in sin. They came to church maybe on Sunday morning, lived in sin. And one day, she went to the grocery store. She came home, the grocery store, went in the house to get something, and inadvertently locked the door of the car with the keys inside. And little baby, I guess 2 years old or so, in the car. And while she was in the house, a fire started in the engine of that car and came inside the car. And that little baby's body was burning inside that car. And that mother was knocking on the door of the car. Let him in! She beat the window. She tried to break the window. She tried to claw her way through. And she watched that little baby burn to a crisp inside that car. You better listen to me. There is a God in heaven! And if you're His child, you won't get by going your own way and doing your own thing. My soul, people say, wow, you're pretty mean. You say, wake up while I'm preaching. Well, of course I do. I'm trying to tell you what to do to avoid tragedy in your life. This is the finger of the Lord. And God comes and tells you in this book what you ought to do. And that doesn't work. And God comes and impresses you what you ought to do, and that doesn't work. And God sends a man of God to stand up as I am this morning and say, I'll tell you what to do, and that doesn't work. And God says, okay, I'll let you lock the keys in the car and keep the engine running. I'll set the car on fire, and I'll take that little baby, and then I'll point you to what you ought to do. There's many a man of God stands this morning, Dr. Evans, behind a pulpit. Many a man of God stands behind the pulpit this morning with memories precious and sweet and yet like glistening tears, because he had to wait and see the chastening hand of the finger of God. Dr. Lee Robertson stands behind his pulpit this morning, or did a while ago because we're on different time zones. Stood behind his pulpit this morning and preached, and all the time a beating of his breast of a little baby named Joy that died suddenly. And little Joy's death was God's finger saying, start a camp. He did, and that camp is called Camp Joy, and thousands of children have been saved. Somewhere in America, Dr. J. Harold Smith stood or stands to preach this morning with memories of the time when he had a dream at night of a little boy burning to death. He had a vivid dream. A call came to his office the next day and said, come home quickly. He went home and he saw his dream and acted just like he dreamed it, his little boy burning to death. It was the finger of God. Dr. Harold Seitler was preaching the Word of God one day, and suddenly, little 9-year-old girl running across the highway, a drunken driver swerved and hit the little girl and thrust her out to eternity. It was the finger of God. It was the finger of God. It was the finger of God pointing what to do. I wonder this morning, has the finger of God made it plain something in your life you ought to do? Are you about to go backward? The finger of God never points backward. Are you about to go down? The finger of God never points down. It always points forward. It always points upward. Have circumstances in your life made you a little bitter? Just the finger of God. Just the finger of God. Night before last, I had preached a sermon in Knoxville, Tennessee, and had tried to come back during the night. Didn't work out quite that way, and I had to spend the night in a hotel. And I dreamed a dream that I dream at least once a month. I was preaching in Knoxville, Tennessee, under a tent like I did Friday night, a big tent. Hundreds of people packing and overflowing that big tent. In my dream that night, I dreamed, and I was preaching. And all of a sudden, I saw my sister walk in back in the back of the tent, and beside my sister was my daddy. They walked and sat down over here on my left, and I continued to preach in my dream just like I'd preached in Knoxville on Friday night. And my daddy sat there, and it was just real to me. I thought I was alive. I thought I was awake. I thought it was real. And I said to myself, I thought Daddy was dead. Somebody told me wrong. Invitation time came. My daddy left the seat, walked to the aisle, down to the front. And I got to kneel at the altar and lead my drunkard daddy to Jesus Christ. It was just last Friday night. And I woke up screaming, hanging on to the cover. You say, Brother House, what do you say? I'm saying God allowed that to come into my life. Because he wanted to point me someday to the great Chicago area. I preached a sermon here years ago called My Daddy Died for You. Every soul that's been saved because I've been preaching, over 250,000 people walked the aisles. Every one of them died because my daddy died for them. I wouldn't be in the pulpit today if my daddy hadn't. I wouldn't be in the pulpit preaching like this if my daddy hadn't died. If my daddy hadn't been a drunkard, I wouldn't have been a preacher. Why, I gave my life to God to preach and got saved. After my daddy was out drunk all night long, I surrendered myself to preach. But my daddy was on a drunk on New Year's Eve night. All those things that I thought worked out to my bad were only the finger of God pointing me to give my life to Jesus. Oh, here is, see his finger as he points. And heed what he says. And accept those events of life that you think are negative, bad events. Accept those as the finger of God. Don't wait, young couple, till you have to lay that little baby. And I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about tithing. I'm talking about coming to church on Wednesday night. I'm talking about watching the right kind of programs on your television set. I'm talking about getting the beer out of your icebox and the cigarettes out of your pocket and the cuss words out of your mouth and the bitterness out of your heart and the worldliness out of your life. Lest one day the finger of God comes and God has to use heartache and tragedy. The finger of the Lord. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to do what I can to live in the book. If I can see his finger in this book and obey his will for my life in the book, maybe by God's grace and mercy he won't have to send the chastening in order to point the direction to me. Let me tell you the best place to see the finger of God. 2,000 years ago on Calvary, there were two pieces of lumber made into a cross. Jesus Christ went to that cross and died in your place. And one piece of the four directions that cross points, it points first to hell from which God wants to save you. It points to heaven to which he wants to save you. and it points to the east and west, to all who can be saved from hell to heaven by faith in Him. See the finger of God this morning pointing to Calvary. See the finger of God pointing to Jesus. See the finger of God pointing to His blessed will for your life. Our Heavenly Father, bless